Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Now, actress Anne Heche was declared dead yesterday, a week after crashing her car into a Los Angeles home. The 53-year-old had been hospitalised in Los Angeles following the crash on August the 5th, but her agent confirmed yesterday that while a ventilator was keeping her heart beating for organ harvest, she's legally dead under Californian law. Now, in a few minutes, I'm going to hear an interview that I did with her in Los Angeles, but first, let's take a quick look back on her career with entertainment journalist Brian Lloyd. So, first of all, Brian, what would people kind of best know Anne Heche from?
I'd say, I mean, the most recognisable film that she did, I think, would be 6 Days, Seven Nights with Harrison Ford and David Schwimmer. This was like this kind of South Seas romantic comedy drama kind of, well, romantic comedy thriller, I would say, where she plays this celebrity journalist that that's crash lands on this island with Harrison Ford, who's this sort of older, rugged kind of pilot. Now, the thing about that film was what was so kind of, I guess what people talk about it so much was the fact that she was cast and then a day later she announced that she was in the same-sex relationship with Ellen DeGeneres. And people kind of always kind of equated that whole period of her life where she was in a relationship with Ellen DeGeneres as her kind of high point. But, you know, I mean, I'd say it was a high point in the sense of, you know, her name was mentioned a lot in celebrity rags and stuff like that. But her best work, I think, kind of happened from 2000 on. Like, I mean, her best film, I think, if you've never seen it, it's called Birth. It was directed by Jonathan Glazer.
Yeah, who did, I have seen it, yeah.
Yeah, who did Sexy Beast. And it's this really, really weird art house film. But she's fantastic in it. And she is in a supporting role next to Nicole Kidman. But every scene that she's in, you can tell that she's pretty much acting everyone else off screen. And I don't mean in a sort of like she's being really, really showy or anything like that. But very sort of subtle, very nuanced, very kind of understands her character really, really well. And, you know, subsequent to like her kind of, I would say, her high point or her high part of her career, I mean, throughout the late 2000s, she was doing a lot of TV work and doing really, really good TV work. She was in Nip Tuck, where she Nip Tuck was good. I mean, the first kind of seasons were very, very good, but then it just got more and more silly. But she played this mob wife who had gone into witness protection and had to get plastic surgery to change her face so that she wouldn't be recognised. And it was really, really interesting. And she was in this other show called Hung with Thomas Jane. It was like one of the early HBO dramas. And again, she was fantastic in it. And like her career, I mean, she's a good example of how Hollywood, the minute a woman turns 40, they'll just throw them away because they're just not casting things anymore, even though they still have so much talent and they're still getting better with it, getting better with age. Because, like, you know, the roles that she had past, you know, the 2000s were all kind of, you know, very art house films, festival films, and then, like, kind of really brainy, really kind of adult TV shows. And that was some of her best work, but just people didn't get to see it as much. It wasn't as widely seen as, you know, 6 Days, Seven Nights or whatever.
Okay, but now the thing is that you mentioned 6 Days and Seven Nights, and in fact I did a couple of interviews with her in the States and this one in LA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she talks about this quite a bit because it was during that movie. I can't even remember what the other movie was. I did a few years beforehand. Anyway, point is that, and she'll talk about that too, about the fact that she does say that her career kind of seemed to end once she said she had a relationship with Ellen DeGeneres. But anyway, we'll have that in a few minutes' time. But before that, just her relationship with Ellen, it kind of seemed to eclipse her professional life. If people talk about Anne Heche, more people seem to know about that than they do about the amazing movie she made in the 90s.
Yeah, completely. And I mean, I think that she's a great example of, you know, her entire career, her entire work being eclipsed by this. I mean, she was only with Ellen DeGeneres for the better part of a year. And, you know, she was bisexual. Like, I mean, all her other previous relationships before or after Ellen DeGeneres were all with men. But I think the fact that her own kind of personal life probably played a big role in this as well, because her father died of AIDS, and it turned out like her mother and her father were very strict fundamentalist Christians, and it turned out that the father had actually been living this complete double life as a homosexual, and her mother had then kind of been working with sort of like gay conversion therapies and all this sort of stuff, like, and you know, that kind of played a role into it as well. And she has had a very, very complex life, and I think, yeah, I mean, the fact that she was only with Ellen DeGeneres for a year, but that just seems to be all anyone remembers. And, you know, she's, like I said, she's done far, far more interesting, far more nuanced and different work than just, you know, being Ellen DeGeneres' girlfriend for a year.
Yeah, I mean, she had a lot of demons, though, as well. I mean, like, a few years after the interview that you'll hear in a few minutes, around 2001, she brought out an autobiography kind of thing, and it's or a memoir. And, like, there's a lot of detail in that of, like, you know, where, okay, fair enough. She's done strange things, hasn't she?
Yeah. I mean, there was a thing where she was shortly after she stood up at Ellen DeGeneres that she, like, what was it? She took, like, ecstasy or something like that, and was driving around some California or something like that, and turned up at somebody's house wearing only a bra and shorts or something like that, and the person brought her in. And the only reason the woman brought her in is because she remembered her from a film or something like that, and then she was, like, committed to a mental hospital for, like, about a half a day or something like that, and was released on her own recognizance. And she talked as well about when she was young that she imagined herself as, like, the half-sister of Jesus or something like that. She had this very kind of vivid imagination as a child to kind of protect herself. And so, yeah, like, I mean, she's definitely had her demons. And I think, not that makes you a better actor or anything like that, but when you see her in roles like in Birth, like in Hung, like in Nip Tuck, like in any of her best work, you can see that she has an understanding of it, of that kind of damaged, that kind of really... I don't want to say struggling, but a person who's gone through it, you can really see that in her performances because she's actually lived it.
Do you think in any way at all, finally, that, like, the relationship she had with Ellen, which was, like, it was a bit of a no-no, supposedly, in the, even as late as the late 90s or the early 2000s, do you think in some ways that maybe Hollywood has changed and, like, they look back on that and say, wow, that's a bit kind of weird?
Oh, completely. Yeah, completely, completely. And, I mean, I think that's the thing that people are, since she's passed, that's the thing that people haven't really kind of spoken about, the fact of, like, you know, she was a victim of early, that kind of early, you know, 24-hour celebrity culture thing where, you know, people were far more judgmental, far more kind of just homophobic, to be perfectly frank, like. And the fact that her entire career was derailed because of this, whereas nowadays people wouldn't really care. And, you know, I think if she had been, I think if all this had happened to her, you know, now, I don't think people would have cared if she was in a relationship with a man or a woman. Nobody would care. But 20, 30 years ago, it was a big thing, and it did derail people's careers. And people were, you know, in the closet for years and couldn't come out or whatever because they felt it would derail her career. And she didn't do that. She was like, well, I'm going to, you know, be as open as I can. I'm not going to hide or be ashamed of anything, considering her own relationship to homosexuality with her father and so on and so forth. But, I think it is sad. I mean, the fact that her career was derailed simply because she didn't have any shame about who she was.
Yeah, and she has a few kids from two different guys. I think she had a relationship with Thomas, the Thomas Jane that you mentioned earlier on as well with him. Yeah. Okay, and the Tony Awards and all the rest of it, etc. So listen, Brian Lloyd, thanks a million, Brian, for talking with us on the programme today. Good man yourself, Brian, indeed. Now, also, by the way, just one thing about all that is the fact that I thought Anne Hesh was brilliant, actually. Very different in many huge movies that she made in the 90s. And as you heard from Brian, a lot of great under-the-radar work on the big screen and TV as well in this century. Now, I met her a few times. I loved her. And I'm going to bring you one of those interviews now. Late 90s in Los Angeles, she was talking up that movie that we mentioned there, the rom-com 6 Days, 7 Nights with Harrison Ford. And she does... We did hear a lot about her life that we didn't know in the 90s. She brought out her... kind of memoir thing, Call Me Crazy, around 2001 direction. And of course, an awful lot has been written about her since as well. And also at the end of this interview here, she talks about Return to Paradise, which hadn't come out at that time yet, and the frame-by-frame Gus Van Sant remake of Psycho, which also hadn't come out. But anyway, we'll take it in here. This is the late Anne Hesh.
Anne.
Yes, Dave.
You are, in the movie, a stressed-out sort of fashion editor in New York. You're not the outdoors type.
No.
He is, right?
Right.
Okay, so when you go to the movie, or you go to the island, I mean, and you see him there for the first time, is it like hate at first sight? Is that really what it's supposed to be?
I don't think it's hate at first sight. I just think it's, you're very different from me, and I don't know if I would like to encourage you to come to dinner with me. That kind of feeling.
Right, okay, and then mutual whatever happens, as with these movies. As with, for instance, It Happened One Night, that kind of movie. Is that, yeah. could I call it the same kind of thing? Is that on an island?
Oh, sure. Well, I think it's, I think it definitely is part of a remembrance of old-time love affair movies where you actually got to watch the journey of two people falling in love. I mean, this is a formula kind of movie. There's no, you know, ooh, big surprise. Somebody wrote in an article that it was predictable. It's like, duh. Of course it is. That's part of what the old-fashioned romances are. You're supposed to, you know that they are going to fall in love at the end, but you just don't know how. And that's the beauty of the movie. It's not meant to, you know, shock you that they end up together.
Was it physically demanding? Was it a tough movie to make?
There were days. I mean, there were days when that I wanted more shade than sun. But you know, it wasn't as difficult as I think everyone believes it was. There were some kind of nasty bruises, but nobody was getting killed.
Right. Sure. Okay. The obvious chance to work with Harrison Ford question here goes, was it, wow, yeah, of course I will, you know, I'm not going to say no to that.
Exactly.
Simple
yes,
as that, yeah?
Yes.
And was the first movie you really saw, was a Harrison Ford movie?
Yeah, Star Wars was the first movie I ever saw, which I know he knows, but I doubt he loves that notion that as a little girl I was like, look. But yes, I think I would have found it very hard to turn down. I never thought I was going to get the part. I thought I was just going to get to meet him and have a fun day, you know, kind of thing. And the fact that I got it, I was just kind of beside myself.
Ivan Reitman was telling me that you brought out something in and that nobody else could seem to bring out, supposedly with this script anyway, maybe not on a regular basis every day of the week, but certainly with this script it worked fine, the
right.
two of you in terms of what had to be. You brought out the funny side of him, you relaxed him, you made him feel, yeah, this is the person for me, and Ivan decides you're the person for him.
Oh,
is that the way you felt when you did it, or did you sort of go out the door and say, what did I do an audition with Harrison Ford? I can't do this.
No, I definitely felt... You know, I'm at the point now where I just really go basically in to have a good time. And even though it's Harrison Ford, I'm still kind of, I always say I'm auditioning the audition because I don't want to give up 3 months of my life to have a bad time. I've never cared that much about it to say, you know, so if I didn't like Harrison, I wasn't, you know, I wouldn't have done the movie. We got along beautifully and I knew that and I went in to have a good time and we did. And so, yeah, I walked out thinking, wow. That was fun.
All right. So it was never going to freak you out too much. I mean, let's face it, just before that, you worked with Robert De Niro and, what's his
that
name?
Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman.
That
in,
helped.
In Wag the Dog.
Yeah.
Before that, Tommy Lee Jones in Volcano. Before that, Al Pacino in Donnie Brasco.
Right.
So, like, it's just another Hollywood famous actor, isn't it? Who's Harrison
well,
Ford?
Well, I know. I've been super blessed by that. I was very intimidated to work with De Niro. I think that was the one that was like... Oh my God. And then after pulling that off, I think Harrison was, I think it made it easier for me to be just enthused rather than intimidated.
Just a question then about something like that, about Wag the Dog. You're on screen most of the time with De Niro. You're not on screen necessarily most of the time with Hoffman.
Right.
So do you worry more, therefore, much more about De Niro than you would about Hoffman? It's as simple as that, is it?
No. I think I just, for some reason, he, you know, Taxi Driver, I loved, I just... His work blows my mind. It really does. And that's really what it was. And I thought he was an actor that I would never, ever get a chance to work with. And Dustin is equally as brilliant, but for some reason, Bob was the guy who gave my stomach jitters.
Right, yeah. Well, you had Wag the Dog made. You had this one where you were cast. Then you came out in Hollywood. All the papers in terms of tabloid, in terms of supermarket, et cetera, went completely and absolutely ballistic and crazy. Did you find that was
truly,
added pressure?
And thank you for acknowledging that. Yes,
no,
they did.
No, but do you find in some ways that it was actually added pressure for you making the movie? Or was it great to get away to a blinking desert island?
Well, kind of a combo. I mean, it was, yes, I did. I mean, yes, the pressure was very, I was very aware of it almost to a fault. But at the same time, I couldn't wait to work. We had about a month before, since the announcement, we had a month before we went to Hawaii, and it was one of the most difficult months of just daily people saying I was going to lose my career and how could I possibly do this and I was going to get fired and all this kind of stuff. So by the time we actually got to the island and were working, it was a joyous celebration of like finally a scene and let me do what I, you know, am supposed to do after I get hired for a movie.
Okay, but like, by the same token, like, your father's very tragic death, your brother's death at the exact same time. The one thing that you said
before... You know a lot about me.
Hold on, though. There's one thing that you said before about all of this is that if there's one thing your father's death taught you, because it was a very sad death, I mean, obviously all deaths are sad, but this is really particularly so, was don't lie about who you are or what you are.
Yeah.
So did you feel in that month that, hey, maybe I should have lied?
No.
No. Fine.
Oh, no, never. No, 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 no. That would never... No, thinking I was going to lose my career would never stop me from telling the truth. Because I would have another career. I mean, I've always kind of been led in my life. So, I didn't believe it to be true, first of all. I don't believe the reward for love is hate. And I don't believe the reward for love is to have your career taken away because, you know, people are petty and don't get it. I just believe it's more of a challenge to then teach what people aren't quite aware that they know yet.
Sure.
So I thought it was even more necessary because of what a crazy, insane thing it was. I thought it was even more necessary that I told the truth and then became more outspoken about it as I went along. And the more people told me to shut up, the more I became outspoken. It was like they were doing themselves a disservice.
Yeah. But is it really true that you told the New York Times that you actually got less offers when you came out, if you like? Is Hollywood that narrow as we move into the sort of new millennium?
Well, I think you have to get really, really, really narrow to get really, really, really big. And I think that's what's going to happen in the year 2000, and nobody knows it. But I think the fear is, let me hold on to everything I know. Let me hold on, let me hold on, let me hold on, let me hold on. And then the year is going to come and they're going to go, oh, I just can't anymore. And they had to hold on to this thing like, oh, she was something that we wanted her to be. She was this, she was that, she was that, she was that, she was that. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, darn it. We learned something new. You know, people just don't want to learn.
Yeah.
But,
okay. Well, hold on, just because we don't have too much time left.
Yeah.
Future projects. Force Majeure, has that been made?
Yes, and it's now called Return to Paradise, which sounds like a sequel to this movie, but it's not.
What's it about? You've got Vince Vaughn.
About Malaysian drug laws. Yeah, Vince Vaughn and Joaquin Phoenix, and it's about Malaysia and love and drugs, and it's a wonderful movie.
It's a wonderful movie. Okay, I have to ask about one of my favorite movies of all time. You're doing a remake of it, supposedly.
Yes, Psycho.
Are you really going to do Psycho? Yeah.
Yes, I really am.
Based on the original Alfred Hitchcock script. It's the exact same script, is it?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
And you're playing, I presume, the Janet Leigh character or something, is it?
Well, yeah. Although I don't want to say any more about it, but yes.
Well, you're hardly playing the Martin Balsam character, right?
Okay. Well, I know, but wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be great.
Oh,
yeah,
my
God. Killed going down the steps. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you haven't done any of that yet, no?
No, we start July 5th.
Right.
We're in rehearsals right now.
Very good. Okay, well, listen, thank you very much for talking
to us,
Anne. Thank you very much.
Anne Hesh, who died yesterday at the age of 53. Dave Fanning on 2FM.